Today's gospel passage begins with a acknowledgement by the author of Luke, telling us that Jesus was going to dine with one of the leaders of the Pharisees on the Sabbath. And they were watching him closely. As many of you know, the Pharisees were the interpreters and the protectors of the Torah, or the Mosaic Law. And I suspect that their invitation to ask Jesus to join them for the Sabbath meal wasn't so much about hospitality, but as they were watching him closely, they were trying to trip him up and find something that they could hold against him and embarrass him with. As I read this passage this week and was thinking about the Pharisees, I was thinking that if Jesus were alive living among us today, he'd probably be being chased around by paparazzi or maybe common people with cell phones trying to catch something that they could hold against him. And the more I think about it, it seems that society, both then and today, is always on the lookout trying to find something that they can hold against us or embarrass us with. And I think that's really a form of sin, isn't it? When we're trying to catch somebody and find something that we can hold against them, it seems to be contrary to the law and the commandment of Jesus to love one another as we love ourselves. At face value, the parable that Jesus is telling us today about where to sit at a wedding banquet and who to invite to a dinner party reminds me of Jennifer Lopez in that famous movie, The Wedding Planner. Has anybody seen that movie? She tries to get everything just right by telling people where to sit and how to act. Our human nature is to not want to be embarrassed and to do things the right way and to always be sitting with the right company. As is always the case, however, Jesus' parables have a bigger picture story to tell us. No surprise, this parable is about something else other than wedding etiquette. I think he's trying to talk to us about God's kingdom, both here and now, and in the days to come. You may have noticed it's written in the second person singular, addressed to you, at the time to the Pharisees, and today to you and to me. We get a hint that he's talking about something beyond the current here and now by the tense. If you may have noticed, it's the future passive tense that Jesus uses to speak to us. For he says, "For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. When you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed. And finally, you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." Then and now, we often act about ways that are primarily about us. We seek to position ourselves in the best seats, around the right people that make us feel privileged and important. We often do things for others like inviting them to parties, expecting something in return. Like, when will they invite us back? Our hospitality to others sometimes turns into a kind of quid pro quo. What's in it for me if I do something for you? Jesus is upsetting that status quo for us by challenging us to think about the kingdom he imagines in a very different way. In the kingdom Jesus longs for, he hopes that there will be no preferred seating arrangements. Everybody is welcome at the banquet he's preparing. There won't be any better seats, and there won't be any privilege. Hospitality will be driven by extending our hand not only to people like our family and friends that we're comfortable with, but maybe some people that we don't know so well, and people that make us a little uncomfortable. Maybe even sometimes the people that are going to make us squirm in our seats a little. True hospitality will be directed to those from whom we should expect nothing in return. We should expect no reciprocity. Hospitality in God's kingdom will be motivated by the abundance of love that God has already shown to all of us. and even for people that we don't know so well. You see, God loved us first, and God's grace and mercy are shown to us through Jesus. We show our love in return by following the command of Jesus to love others as we love ourselves. Our hospitality should be freely given, just like God's love and mercy, with nothing expected in return. You see, God doesn't need anything from us other than to love and care for one another. So I wanted to share a very personal and life-changing story with you this morning. 1 week ago today, I had the blessing and honor of being with my 39-year-old nephew, Beau, when he passed away after a very chronic and fatal disease. I had been spending time with Beau over the last 3 or 4 weeks, and I got a call mid-afternoon last Saturday that Beau's time was near, and that if I wanted to see him, I ought to come right away. Throughout the night on Saturday, after I drove into the city of Chicago, I sat with Beau's mom and dad, his siblings, his life partner, and we sat watch with him as he was in great discomfort and pain, and he grasped for air in his last breath. At about 9 o'clock last Saturday, we called the chaplain to come and pray with us for Beau and offer some consolation to the family. And you know, when we were sitting all together, we were Catholics. There were some Jews, as my niece had converted. There was a Presbyterian minister. And there was me, a Lutheran pastor in training. Beau continued to fight for his life throughout the evening. And about 11 o'clock, it seemed like he might linger indefinitely. Nobody knew for how long. I was able to convince the rest of my family that they ought to go home and get some rest because they didn't know how long Beau was going to last or what the future would hold. And frankly, I was the freshest person because I didn't get there till about 5 o'clock. They all reluctantly went home, and I sat with Beau, and I watched his blood pressure and his heart rate drop throughout the evening. And he passed peacefully into God's kingdom at 1:42 a.m. It was truly an honor and a blessing to be with Beau. All week long, I've been trying to make some sense of this. Why did Beau die so young? And this was such a tragic event. Why? I've constantly reminded myself that God's plan for us isn't always easy to understand, and that it gets revealed to us in God's time, not our own. So on Wednesday this week, as I was preparing my sermon, I came to realize that something special had happened. We had all had a tiny glimpse of God's future kingdom through Beau's passing. You see, there was more going on than I've shared with you so far. The tragedy is that Beau has been suffering from alcoholism most of his adult life, and it finally caught up with him. And there was a lot of stress and tension going on in our family. Because for the last month, there's been a lot of discussion about what was the right thing to do for Beau. Should we accept the fact that he was dying and there was nothing we could do? There were some who thought maybe we should think about moving him to another hospital and try to do everything possible to save him. And then yet others thought maybe Beau will come out of this coma and he'll improve enough to tell us what he wants. Well, none of that happened. On Saturday morning, the doctors came in and said that his time was near and that we all ought to prepare ourselves. What I heard in these words was that God was telling us that it was all now in his hands. It wasn't in Beau's and it wasn't in ours. Despite our religious differences, we all prayed together. There were no preferred seats, and everybody was welcome to be with Beau. You might say we put the swords aside. I saw God's grace and hospitality extended us in a very different way. God is with us in all our times of need, in our joy and in our sorrow, in our comfort and in our pain, and even sometimes when we think we're all alone. I think Jesus in these parables this morning is telling us to treat each other the same way. I believe that God is present and hospitable to everybody in need, whether they're Jew or Christian, black or white, gay or straight, Muslim, Hindu, Buddhist, or whatever. God's hospitality is for everyone. The hospitality that Jesus is talking about is even more radical than that tiny glimpse that I saw last week. It makes us uncomfortable, and it makes us squirm in our seats because we need to put ourselves out there and think about how we can be hospitable to others and be open to surprises. Jesus is challenging us to reach out to people in different places, like Sherman Park, like the south side of Chicago, where I attend seminary, to Baton Rouge, and even to some faraway places that we often don't want to talk about, like the Middle East. The kingdom that Jesus is intending to build won't be the same old comfortable ways of this world. The new kingdom has a whole new set of rules that will upset our ways of thinking and cause us to be a little uncomfortable by reaching out to people other than just our family and friends. It will require us to have faith in God's grace and mercy and to be open to God's will, not just ours. So I pray this morning that we can all open our minds to the radical and sometimes uncomfortable ways of the new kingdom that Jesus is talking about, and that we can use that etiquette that he's trying to impose upon us to start building the kingdom here and now. I'm also praying this morning for Bo and for my family. Please keep them in your prayers this morning as well. Bo is already enjoying the new ways of God's kingdom. May we find peace and consolation in his joy. Amen.